Today we're going to start with Tani, the very beginning of Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay, we were in the middle of a bunch of statements that talked about the Sheleg and how good it was and different agricultural things where different types of rain were good and different, there were different types of rain, heavy rains, light rains, there was snow that was good five times, like a times five of a rain. Okay, we're continuing in the line of statements like that. Or fila, okay, which Rashi explains are gishamim dakin, okay, like very thin rains, which I guess means light rains, like a drizzle. Afilu lepartzida detute kala mahanya. It even helps the seeds that are underground, they get through. My orfila, so where does the word orfila come from? How do you get that that's a light rain? Uru pile. It means wake up seeds that are stuck under there. In other words, it gets all the way to the seeds underneath. So it's they call it notricon, where uri, right? Urpila is uru pile. Ba'amarava. Haitsurva me rabbanan. Dami le partzida de tute kala. Tute, by the way, is tachat. Okay, under. So they say a tsurva me rabbanan, which is a young talmid chacham, or a talmid chacham, is dome le partzida de tute kala, is like a seed that's under the ground. The kevan de navat navat, that once it starts to bloom, it keeps coming out and coming out and coming out. So a young Talmid Chacham, starts learning, and then as soon as he starts blossoming, he really continues and blossoms. V'amar Rava, now he makes another comment about Talmid Chachamim, and we're going to see the little difficulty with this statement. The first one seems to be very positive, right? That once it starts to come out, he keeps growing and growing. Now we're going to have a statement that he seems to say is positive, but we'll see that it clearly has some negative connotations. V'amar Rava, haitzorva merabanan, dirata, who gets angry. Okay, if you see a Talmid Chacham who gets angry, oraitahu dekamerat chale, it's his Torah that's causing him to boil up. Shene'emar, halokod varai ke'esh ne'um Hashem. My words are like fire. What do you see from here? That if you see a Talmid Chacham who gets angry, it's not him getting angry. It's not a flaw in his personality that he gets angry. It's the Torah inside of him that's getting him angry. And it describes here that the Torah is Dvarai Hashem are like Ke'esh. They're like a fire. So you see here that there's a positive element of anger. That anger sometimes could be a positive thing coming from God and coming from an anger about Torah and about protecting the Torah. Rashi explains here, Oraita Merat Chele, the Torah, what does it mean the Torah is getting him angry? Sheyesh lo rochav lev mitoch Torato, misim li libo yoter mishar ben adam. He's more sensitive than other people, you could say. He's more, right, some people, when they really believe in something strongly, and they're immersed in it, so if something doesn't go right, they get very worked up about it. And here's what Rashi is saying. The point of this, according to Rashi, is the Kamashmalan, this is coming to teach you, dechayvim ledono l'chafzchut. Sometimes you see someone get angry and you feel like they just shouldn't be getting angry. Anger is not a good way of handling it. So they're saying, when you see a Talmid Chacham get angry, understand where it's coming from. It's almost like a psychological thing. Understand that it's coming, it's not necessarily that the Torah inside of him is a fire, right? You can understand it literally, but what they're trying to say it means here is, at least this is Rashi's explanation, there's different explanations, but that understand where this is coming from, that it's coming from a place where he is so immersed in Torah that he feels it and so strongly that when he sees something against it, he has trouble dealing with it and he gets angry. And have some rahmanis on him. don't say, oh, how did this person get so angry? Oh, they're just going off. But understand where it's coming from, which I think in general, when you see someone get angry, sometimes you immediately say, oh, can't be near this person, right? They're just the anger. But sometimes you have to understand where it's coming from. And if you have respect, and understanding where it's coming from, you can understand, okay, usually when people are angry, it comes out of a misplaced, right? They're in a state. So here they're saying when it happens to Talmid Chacham, understand that this is where it's coming from. V'amar Rav Asher, Rav Asher continues, and also I would say this isn't the most positive thing. Kol Talmid Chacham she'eino kashe kebarzel eino Talmid Chacham. Talmidei Chachamim are kashim kebarzel. They're hard and harsh. She'ne'emar u'kipatish she'fotzei tzela. Right, again, they're using all these psukim that are describing Torah. And they're basically saying that the Talmidei Chachamim have the Torah inside them. So, right, the Divrei Torah are like a potish, potzei tzela, like a hammer that can break a rock, so, or explode a rock. And that's what a Talmid Chacham is. And that he should be so hard that it can be like a, he could be like a patish that can be mefotzeit tzela. Okay, now, despite the fact that these seem a little bit negative, Amar le Rabbi Abba le Rav Ashi, Atun mehata matnitale, ana mehacha matnitale. Okay, before I get to that part, there's another limud. And as he says, Rav Ashi says, any Talmid Chacham that's not kasheker barzel is not a Talmid Chacham from this kipatish yefotzeit tzela. He says, I learned it from a different place. Dichtiv, Eretz Asher Avaneha Barzel, right? Describes Eretz Israel as a place where her rocks are iron. What does that mean? How could rocks be iron, right? It's not possible. Rocks are rocks, and iron is iron. So, Al Tikre Avaneha Ela Boneha. The Boneha are Barzel. In other words, the people who build it, which are here, they're talking about not the physical workers, but the Talmidei Chachamim, they are Barzel. So now, here we have the, after you have these things, they have to be strong, they have to be, they can get angry through the Torah. Amar Ravina afilu hachi mibayle le'inish lemelech nafshe benichuta. Okay? People need to be benachat. In other words, don't think that you should act in this anger all the time. They should try to teach themselves to do things benichuta. Shene'emar v'haser kas milibech. Okay, he quotes a pasuk from Kohelet, which basically says you should take anger out of your lathe. You shouldn't deal with things with anger. And he tries to basically somewhat negate, or, right, again, if you take Rashi's approach, where it's not that we're saying the Talmid Chacham should act that way, but if he does understand where he's coming from, and then comes that last statement of Ravina, right, Ravina, to say, you know, ideally, clearly, you shouldn't be acting Hashem. Maybe you should have hardness inside you, and that's what gives you the strength to be able to learn all the time, but learn how to control it. It's don't, you should act benachat, even if you see things that are, right, we know the story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son, when they came out of the cave, that's what the story reminded me of, and they were burning everything, because they were so harsh, and their understanding of Torah was so
rigid
and intense, and they couldn't handle. So this is kind of saying, yes, there's that on the one hand, and understand where they were coming from, but on the other hand, that's not a real great way to
ideal.
Be, right? Ideal. It's not the ideal. It might happen, but it's not the ideal. And when it does happen, know where it's coming from. And as an outsider, understand to, you know, don the chafskut, as Rashi said. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Shlosha sha'alu shelo kahogen. Okay, now, why is this coming up here? We're going to now have people who ask for things inappropriately, okay? What does it mean inappropriately? It doesn't mean like we would think, oh, they shouldn't have asked it. It's saying they weren't careful with their words and they asked in a way, we'll see in a minute what he's talking about, they asked for things in a way that was not exactly the right way to ask, okay? So who are these three people? I charted them out for you if you'd like to look there. And then, of these three people, Lishnayim Heshivuhu Kehogen, okay, two of them got answered appropriately, even though they asked inappropriately. V'lechad Heshivuhu Shelo Kehogen, and one got answered inappropriately. Ve'eluhen, obviously we'll have to distinguish why one and why the other two. Ve'eluhen, Eliezer Eved Avraham, V'shaul Ben Kish, V'yiftach HaGiladi. Eliezer Eved Avraham Dichtiv, V'hayahan Ara Asher Omar Eleha, Hatina Kadech. Right, what does he say? He says, and the girl who says, right, give me your thing, and right, and with the water, and he makes this test for her, okay? Why was that Shelo Kehogen? He says, and whoever that girl will be, right, whoever says this, she will marry Yitzchak. It sounds a little, right, it's a, so, right, simplistic, and you're judging based on only one thing, and you're not looking at other things. So the Gemara says, Yechol afilu chigeret, afilu suma. What if she had some big moon, right? They say it doesn't necessarily mean that specifically if she was blind or, I forgot what chigeret, it's lame. Okay. So, you know, it could have been other things also, but the point is, he only looked at one aspect and he didn't look at the whole picture. Some people say, why didn't he say, what if she was an Eved, right? Like Mishpachat Avadim. So they said, that clearly it wouldn't have been because he was only looking in Abraham's family. See, he was talking about within Abraham's family, where clearly it wouldn't have been a Pgam in the Yichus, even though depends, right? Some side of the family, there could be somebody who married out somewhere. It's not necessarily so clear. But anyway, that's what they say. So hishivu kahogan, right? But in the end, it worked out. Shal ben Kish, dichtiv. This is with the Sipur of Goliath. What does he say? If you remember this, v'hayah ha'ish asher yakenu, yashrenu ha'melech osher gadol, ve'et bito yitein lo. Again, a marriage situation, right? They'll get my daughter, right? For all of us women, it doesn't sound so positive that the women just got given, especially when they weren't being careful about who they were saying, right? It was just, oh yeah, you know, whoever does this will get to, you know, be the girl who's going to marry, who's going to marry my husband. Or here, right? One is talking about the guy, one is talking about the girl. But in any case, the girl's just going to get sent wherever they decide. So what does he say? Yachol afilu eved, afilu mamzer. Here they bring up the eved and the mamzer, and that's why the Mefreshim had asked, why didn't they say it in the previous case? So what if he was an eved? What if he was a mamzer? Right, which could have been, right? Sometimes they're very strong, and they could have been the ones who killed Goliath, even though in the end it was intelligence and not, right? But a mamzer could also be intelligent, or an eved. Hey, shivu kehogan. But in the end, he got a good answer, but he said, man, lo David. Okay? It's interesting. In this case, David became a sur in his, right? He got a good answer because he ended up with a good chatan, but in the end, his chatan was, you know, kind of took his place and was always a sur, right? And always a pain for him, and he was always upset about it. But anyway, they look at it as he did, right? In the end, he got what he wanted, which is he got a good husband for his daughter, and he wasn't an eved or a mamzer. Yiftach ha-giladi, as we all know, dichti v'haya ha-yotzei asher yetzei midaltei beiti, right? Whatever comes out my door, I will sacrifice to God. It could, you know, why is it shelo kahogan? Not because of what happened, but what shelo kahogan? Yechol afilu dabar tameh. What if something tameh came out, a dog went through his door, and then he wouldn't be able to bring that as a sacrifice to God? Heshivu shelo kahogan yizdamna lo bito. Okay, it's almost, right here, it's obviously not a marriage case, right? And in the end, he sacrifices, he has to kill his daughter. But it's set up almost like a setup to get to Yiftach, right? It's almost like they're trying, almost like the first two aren't so relevant. They're trying to get to Yiftach, and they're bringing these two women stories and marriage stories. In the end, right, what's her thing? She never got married, and she never, right? And that's the sad end of Yiftach's daughter. I thought that maybe this whole thing is really here. I mean, we're going to see a little bit more of this sugya, because Ta'anit is all about asking for things you need, right? It's all about prayer and the centrality of prayer and the importance of it, and when we ask for things and how we ask for things. And the whole mission is about when do we start asking at the appropriate time, at the not appropriate time, when's the appropriate time. And this is all about asking for things in the appropriate time, in the appropriate manner, how you word things. It's all very important. So they're bringing this as examples for that. Okay, so now they say something interesting about Yiftach, which I actually don't recall ever learning this. V'hainu deka'amar lehu navi liYisrael, hatzari ein b'gilad im rofe ein sham. Okay, what does it mean? Hatzari ein b'gilad im rofe ein sham. Is there no way to heal this situation? Okay, and they connect it with Yiftach, who is Hagiladi. Okay, it's a pasuk in, where is it? In Yirmiyahu. It doesn't have anything to do with Yiftach, but they're saying, right? They're learning it onto Yiftach, and they're going to connect it with Pinchas, who was also Migilad. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if you look in Rashi for a minute, Rashi says, Midigale be'kra va'amar hatzari ein b'gilad amar delo have nicha kameshmaya. It means this wasn't good before Shemayim, kedamrinan hatzari ein b'gilad. What's the issue? Pinchas hayasham. In other words, there was a further problem in what happened with Yiftach. It wasn't just that he said it, but that he didn't try to cure it. In other words, right? He kind of accepts it. It's very interesting, philosophical, right? This happened to him. He made a mistake. And then he realizes he made a mistake, and he just kind of takes it. And not only does he take it, but now we're going to show that Pinchas, who could have helped him, doesn't help him either. Okay? And that's why there's two things in this passage. Hatzari ein b'gilad and Orfe ein sham. In other words, there's two people who could have cured it. Pinchas hayasham, okay, Pinchas, right, ben Elazar, ben Aaron, a Kohen. V'haya yechol lahatir nidro. You make a neder, you can be matir your neder. And he could have done it. So now, what was the fault of each of them? Ela, shelo ratza yiftach leilech etzlo, v'hu lo ratza lavo etzlo yiftach. Each one of them, Pinchas said, well, he should come to me, right? And because he didn't come to Pinchas, Pinchas didn't go out there and say, let me see how I can help you. And that was Pinchas' problem, right? Sometimes you have to be Rosh Gadol. You can't say, oh, you know, it's their issue. They have to come to me to solve their issue. You have to be Rosh Gadol and say, listen, Yiftach, you got a problem? I'm going to come help you. And Yiftach, you know, sometimes people think, oh, I can resolve my issues by myself, or here, you know, I made a mistake, I have to live with it. And they don't realize that there's ways they can help themselves to get out of it. And he could have really helped himself to get out of it, but he wasn't willing to make that step. You know, maybe he was embarrassed to go to Pinchas, he didn't want to bother him, he didn't want, right? There's all sorts of reasons why people kind of wallow in their own without actually seeking help. Right, they get stuck and they can't get out of it. So anyway, this is a good, interesting, you know, drasha about it, including Pinchas in the story, that he could have helped. Okay. And I think also it's very pertinent to what they're talking about in terms of tefillah and bakashot, and right, you shouldn't, yes, it's true, it comes from God, and there's one thing to say, okay, it came from God, but there's another thing to say, it came from God and I'm stuck in it, and I can't get out of it, right? There's ways to get out, there's ways to be matir neder, there's ways to pray and God will change, there's all sorts of ways, and take those avenues, don't just wallow in your depression.
Yiftach also was a tit for tat, whereas the other two were just clear bakashot. Yiftach was negotiating. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. And that's, I think, why they sent that the lesson of Pinchas, because it was a tit for tat again. Like the punishment was meted out through the way he negotiated.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying, or no?
Not 100%.
So with Yitzchak, I mean with Eliezer and with Shaul, they were both asking for things.
Okay.
Right. But Pinchas was negotiating. He said, "Okay, God, if you do this for me,
Yiftach.
I'll do this."
It was
right.
conditional request.
Uh-huh. I see. Whereas if you do this, right?
Like,
that's true.
Hashem, if you do this, I promise I'll dab Marv every day for the next 6 months. You
right.
Know, you're negotiating with him.
Right.
Instead of,
although even Eliezer was a bit of a negotiation, no? Wasn't it also like...
He didn't say, if you do this for me,
if
you
do this,
for you.
Uh-huh. Right, I guess you're right. Though I also saw that as a sort of negotiation, right?
But
I guess you're right. Because he's also talking to God about, right? I don't remember the whole Mahalach there, but it's also a little bit. But you're right, there's a bit of a difference. You help me win and I'll do this for you.
Almost like an arrogance.
Right. And then also, it could be that's why he also got stuck in it, because he felt like God did his side of the bargain.
Saying,
that's what you're saying.
The punishment was
right.
Like almost like an iron tough iron type situation
right.
of an arrogance.
Uh-huh. Right. Exactly. And then, despite that, the Gemara is teaching you that he still could have gotten out of it.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Right.
In other words, right. Okay.
But it was right. His arrogance led him down the whole way.
Right.
He could never do that.
Right. He couldn't get over it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, right, because clearly that's what you're saying. The arrogance at the end is what prevented him from going to Pinchas.
Right, and that's what
and,
got him into trouble
right,
in the first place.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. Now they're going to say, Uchtiv, we're going to darshan these three people out of a pasuk. Asher lo tziviti, velo dibarti, velo alta alibi. Okay, the whole pasuk is, Ubanu et bamot habal, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, lestrof et b'nehem ba'esh. Olot labal asher lo tziviti velo dibarti velo ata libi. Okay, they built these bamot to the Baal to burn their children. Okay, I think there's two different parshaniyot there, whether it's talking about the goyim or whether it's talking about us. So these people are sacrificing their sons to the Baal. That was the god in those days, one of the gods that people were praying to. That I didn't command them, I didn't say, and lo ata libi. It didn't even come up. Right, I don't know how you translate exactly lo ata libi. It didn't even wasn't even an option. Okay, so now. They're darshaning those three parts of the psukim. Asher lo tziviti, ze bino shomesh ha-melech Moav. Who didn't I command? I didn't command Mesh ha-melech Moav to sacrifice his son. Here we're going to talk about three people that God didn't command to sacrifice their children. But we're going to see the difference. Mesh ha-melech Moav sacrificed his son. Shenemar v'yikach et bino ha-bechor ha-sheim loch tachtav v'yaleu ola. He took his firstborn son. That's what people would do. They would bring their firstborn son. And sacrificed him as an olah, right? Fully up to God. This is, I think, against the goyim. But some people say that Mesh HaMelech Moab, it wasn't clear whether he sacrificed it dafka to God or he sacrificed it to the Baal. But either which way, right, it was wrong, even if he was sacrificing it actually to God.
Why do we care?
Was
it wrong?
Why do we care? Well, they talk about goyim also. You know, in other words, it was... I don't remember the context. I didn't look it up again. It's in Sefer Melachim.
Well, we can still learn from there.
It says, "Vayikach b'no abchor shem loftas avyaleu ola lachoma vayiketzef gadol Yisrael vayisumei ala vayashuv la'aretz." I don't remember the whole context there. What?
Molech.
Molech was the...
Yeah, the Molech. This was for the Molech.
So that was clearly in the Torah that it was a sewer.
Yeah, but he's not Jewish. I don't remember the context there. Right. But here there was a Ketzef Gadola Yisrael because he did this. I don't remember the context. We have to look it up. Okay. So anyway, he's number one. By Velodi Barti Ze Yiftach. Okay, now we know why it's brought up here, right? Because I didn't tell Yiftach to say anything. Okay, there's some people that we try to darshan. Why is Asher Lo Tziviti by Mesha and Asher Lo Dibarti is with Yiftach? Some people actually switch it because they say Mesha Malchum Av is never Tzuva anyway. He doesn't have mitzvot, and the Tzivoy was Yiftach and the Dibarti was Mesha. Some people try to explain; they give explanations. Anyway, there's different nischaot. And then the last one, V'lo Atali B, there's a good one, Ze Yitzhak Ben Avraham. In other words, it never dawned on me, I wasn't ever going to ask you to sacrifice Yitzhak. In other words, yes, I asked you, Tziviti and Dibarti, right? But I didn't mean it. It wasn't what I really ever intended. I didn't intend for you to sacrifice Yitzhak Ben Avraham. Okay, here they're taking, what they're basically doing is they're connecting these three times, and I'm sorry that I didn't have a chance to look up this Mesha Melech Moav story. Anyway, they're taking these three stories where somebody sacrificed a son, or almost sacrificed, or a son or a daughter, right, a child. So these three cases, and they're connecting them. That God never commanded anyone ever to sacrifice children, just to make it clear, right, that this guy wasn't commanded, and it was Ketzef Gadol. Yiftach wasn't commanded, and he was this, and Avram wasn't commanded, and in the end, God tells him not to, because he never, you know, don't think, it's also, I think it's interesting, I'm sure that there were opinions that thought that really God did want to, and then I'm sure there were Christian ideas and or other maybe pagan ideas that took the story of the Akedah and tried to learn about sacrifice, and this Gemara is trying to make it clear that God never intended that anybody ever sacrifice anybody. Okay, now going back to these three people, Eliezer, Shaul, and Yiftach, Rabbi Brechi adds a fourth, but not exactly a person. I'm Rabbi Brachia, Af Knesset Yisrael Sha'alah Shalom Kahogan. And they're going to bring two different times where they ask Shalom Kahogan, but Kadosh Baruch Hu Yeshiva Kahogan. But we got our request anyway. Shenemar. V'neid'an yirdefa ladat et Hashem kishachar nachon motza'o v'yavo kigeshem lanu. They're saying, we want to see Dvar Hashem. It'll come to us like the shachar, and it'll come like the rain. Okay? So now, Amar la Kadosh Baruch Hu biti, Af Sho'elet Dvar Shepamim Mitbakesh Shepamim Eino Mitbakesh. You can't ask that I'm always going to come to you like rain, because rain is sometimes good and sometimes not good. Aval ani hayelecha davar hamitbakesh la'olam. But I will answer you, and I will be something to you like Geshem, but something that's always present. Shene'emar hayek ketal Yisrael. We learned this already, that the tal is always there. So in a different pasuk, this, by the way, doesn't come up, right? One is in Hoshea Vav and one is Hoshea Yudalit. These aren't psukim that are right next to each other, but they're taking two, right? In the next case, they're going to take psukim from two different books, two different sections of the Torah, one in the Nevi'im, one in the Ketuvim. But they're going to say, because of those similar Lashon, right, they ask for God to be like Geshem, and God says, I'm going to be like Tal. So they connect these two psukim together and saying God answered their request in a better way. V'od sha'ala shelo kohogen, amra lefanav ribono shalom, simeni kechotam al libech. Right, put me as a sign on your leg. Kechotam al zro'ech, on your arm. Amra le kadosh baruch hu, right? Sometimes you see, if you see something, if you put something on your heart or on your arm, sometimes you can see it, sometimes you don't. It's covered by clothing, right? You don't always see it. Aval ani eseh lecha davar shenireh le'olam, shenemar hein al kapayim chakotich. Okay, they take again a pasuk. One is from Shir HaShirim, the first one, and the second pasuk they bring the proof text of the answer is from Yeshayahu, and it's saying, I'm going to put you on my hands. Because hands are always uncovered, except, I guess, if you're wearing gloves, but generally they're uncovered and everyone will see. Okay, done with the stories for today, or that section. Now we're going to go back to our issue of the Sheila and Haskarak Shamim, and we're going to see that what's very clear to us, that there's Sheila that happens on Shmini Atzeret, I'm sorry, there's Haskara, mentioning Mashiv Aruch Morid HaGeshem, that happens on, right, Haskara is the Mashiv Aruch Morid HaGeshem, and that, you know, we do on we do it on Shmini Atzeret, and again, we saw there's a machloka, whether it's Shmini Atzeret, whether it's the first day, whether it's second day, sixth day, okay, sometime on Sukkot, and then there's Sheilat HaGeshamim. Okay, now Sheilat HaGeshamim to us is very clear, that we do it on Zion Mar Cheshvan in Eretz Yisrael, and we do it on the 4th or 5th of December, right, we'll see what that is, we'll get to that later. in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, today we'll see hints of that already, what that date is. Not exactly yet, but... okay, so now, what are they saying? But we're going to see that the concept that there's a separation, right? If you notice, by the way, when it comes to Pesach and the end, there's no separation, right? We end both of them on the first day of Pesach. So we're going to talk about, is there always separation? Is there not? Was this distinction so clear-cut always? And we're going to see that it wasn't. Ein shalim tag shamim. Svaruha. Now, always when the Gemara says svaruha or savru, we had it yesterday. Savru means they thought, and it's always that they were mistaken. No, it's people understood it first. Sheila v'haskara chadamiltehi. The sheila and haskara are the same. Now, we just have to look back on the Mishnah for a minute. The Mishnah is a very strange structure. Because the Mishnah starts out, Me'ematai maskirin gvorot gashamim. We have this machloket. Then it says, Ein sho'alim et hagshamim ela samuch lagshamim. And then it goes back to this haskarat gashamim, about how we're lefnei atava b'yom tov acharon maskir, arishon eino maskir. So it starts off with haskara, it ends up with haskara. The next Mishnah talks about she'ela, and in the middle of this Mishnah is this line that talks about Ein sho'alim et hagshamim ela samuch lagshamim. So they have a lot of trouble with what's it doing there. And is she'ela the same thing as haskara? Because from this Mishnah, because they stick she'ela in the middle of the cold of all the diyun about haskara, it sounds like it's really all the same. She'ela, haskara, it's all the same thing. So that's why they say, they assumed from this that she'ela and haskara was chadamilti, it's all the same thing. And if that's the case, man tana, who's the tana who this goes according to? Amarava Rabbi Yoshua hi, damar mishata nachato. As Rabbi Yoshua says that we do it mishata nachato, and then apparently he'd also be saying that you also, because nobody thinks that you can start asking for rain in the beginning of Sukkot. It can't match Rabbi Lezer's opinion, who said it's the first day of Sukkot, because you can't possibly ask for rain on Sukkot. Rain is a curse on Sukkot. So it must be Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, who says you do it. Again, we had a different of opinion, whether Shana Nachato is the 7th or the 8th, but you do it at the end of the holiday, let's say. And at the end of the holiday already, you can start asking for rain. So then, Shela and Haskara are the same, and you do it all on Shmini Atzeret, or again, maybe on the 7th day. Amar Le'abaye, no, I can explain it, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Afilu Tema Rabbi Eliezer, Shela Lechud, V'Haskara Lechud. No. You say it's Rabbi Eliezer, and Shela is not Haskara. You start Haskara on the first day of Sukkot, and Shela, you do it another time. We'll see what that other time is. And that this Mishnah has nothing to do, this She'ela, this line about She'ela Samuch Lag Shamim, is saying, yeah, we do Haskara now, and we do She'ela Samuch Lag Shamim, whenever that will be. V'ika da'amri, now some people read this whole sugya that it happened differently, the conclusions are the same, that Lema, it wasn't that the people thought mistakenly that this was the case, but they suggested, why don't we say Lema, that this is Rabbi Yoshua, he da'amar mishata nachato, and then She'ela and Haskara would be the same. And then Amar Rava, instead of Abaye, is Rava who answers, and he says, Afilu Tema Rabbi Lezer, She'ela Lechud and Haskara Lechud. We can also explain it according to Rabbi Lezer. Again, the same conclusion, just a little bit of a different flow. Either the people thought mistakenly and Abaye corrected them, or the rabbi suggested something and then Rava rejected it and said, you're not, you know, I have a better explanation. It's always better if you can explain a statement in the Mishnah to match all the opinions. So that's what he's basically saying. I can explain according to everyone, and then you just say the Chelan has Karan, not the same thing. Okay. Now we're going to deal with Rabbi Yehuda at the end of the Mishnah, who said, Ha'over lifnei teva. Remember this? Harishon, right? Eino maskir, Hasheni maskir. And then when it comes to, now we're going to deal with Pesach. When it comes to stopping the end time of Pesach, he says, again, Harishon maskir, the first one continues to say Mashiv Baruch in the morning, and in Musaf, we don't say Mashiv Baruch. So now, we're going to bring a contradiction to that statement from the next Mishnah. Uriminu, right from, it's the next Mishnah. Uriminu, Ab Matai Sho'alim Etag Shamim. Until when do we ask for rain? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad She'avor Pesach. Which seems, the pshat, how do you understand that? The end of Pesach, right? Until after Pesach is over. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ad She'avor Nisan. Rabbi Meir says, until Nisan is over. Neither of those, right, match what we do, or what it says in the Mishnah, which is more important, right? What we do doesn't interest them, because they don't know what we did, right? They weren't doing necessarily what we did. But it doesn't match Rabbi Yehuda. And not only that, it's a real contradiction, because our Mishnah was in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said it. Okay? And here, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ad Shevar Pesach. I want to, do you guys remember Rabbi Yehuda said it? Do you remember that? What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Okay, remember? Rabbi Yehuda said, Aver Lefnei Teva, right? But didn't he say it in the Braita, it said he said it in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. Remember that?
Right.
In the Braita, and then we said in another Braita, it said he said it in the name of Ben Batera. And then in the end, they say, oh, it's Yoshua Ben Batera. So maybe that's an interesting point of information. From our Mishnah, it sounds like just Rabbi Yehuda said it. But from the Braita and the other, right, the two Braitot, it seems he said it in the name of somebody else. So now, what do they say? So really, our contradiction here is Rabbi Yehuda on the one hand saying, Ad Shia Avor HaPesach, and Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand saying, the first day of Pesach. So now we're going to have, you can see from our sheet, four different answers to this question, okay? And if you look at the back, we're going to have problems with a few of them, okay? We're going to ask questions on some of them. Some of these answers we're going to reject, and some of them we're going to ask questions and answer them up. Okay, so now what do they say? Amar Rav Chista lo kasha, kan lishol, kan lahazkir. Ah, why do you even start connecting these things, right? The Mishnah, the next Mishnah, is talking about Ad Matar Sholim Matag Shamim. So you continue to ask for rain and Sevetein Tala Matar until the end of Pesach. But you stop saying Mashiva Rocha Marita Geshem, which was our Mishnah, on the first day of Pesach, okay? So now we're going to see some problems with that. I don't know if you guys are already right. It's a little strange. So they say, Mishal Shal V'Azil, here he's explaining. We continue to ask throughout the whole Chag. Lahazkir B'Yom Tov Arishon Pasuk. But Lahazkir, we end on the first day of Chag. Amar Ula Hadrov Chistakasha. This is very difficult. Kechomets L'Shinayim U'Kashan L'Einayim. Okay, that's like a way of saying it's a Kal V'Chomer. Okay, Uma bimkom she'eno shoel maskir. Now, why is this strange? What did we say in the beginning? What did we start? We start on Shmini Atzeret and we do Hazkara. And then we have this period where we're only maskir, right? Until we actually start the Shela, until we actually start saying the Tein Tal Matar. Some time passes. So if when we start saying it, and now what is Rabbi Yehuda, how we explain Rabbi Yehuda according to Rav Chista? He continue, when we stop, we stop the Hazkara first, and we continue the Sheila. So in the, even though this looks right, in other words, it doesn't make any sense. If you, the whole idea is that we're mazkir things even when we don't actually need them. So why would you possibly stop the Hazkara, Mashiv Baruch Hu Merida Geshem, on the first day of Pesach, but continue all throughout Pesach to ask for rain? It doesn't make any sense. So that's what he's saying. Uma b'mekom she'eno shoel maskir. If you're not going to ask, right, when you don't ask in the beginning of after on Shmini Atzeret and so forth, until you start asking, you're maskir. B'mekom she'shoel, so whenever then you'd be asking, eino din she'ehe maskir, obviously you're going to still be maskir, because maskir isn't even asking. Ela amar Ula, so Ula rejects this and says, I have a better answer. Trei tanai aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. There are two different opinions of Tanaim according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's a machloket about what Rabbi Yehuda actually said. So one thing says that he said the first day of Pesach. And one opinion says he says the last day of Pesach. And that's a machloket of Rabbi Yehuda. And what they don't answer here, I think they say in the Yerushalmi, if I remember correctly from what I saw, in the Yerushalmi they answer a better answer, which is we even saw from the Braitot that it was Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. Or in the name of Ben Batera, or in the name of Rabbi Yoshua Ben Batera, whoever it was, he was passing down, it wasn't necessarily his opinion. He was just bringing someone else's opinion. So instead of saying it was two different Tanaim who understood Rabbi Yehuda differently, no. One is Rabbi Yehuda himself, and one is Rabbi Yehuda quoting someone else. Why doesn't he offer that in the Bavli is a question. But anyway, that's what they say here. So that's answer number two. So answer number one was, one is Sheila, one is Hazkara. That we had a lot of difficulty with. Answer number two is two different approaches of Rabbi Yehuda, and that you can't argue against. In other words, it's a good option. Whether it's true or not, we don't know, but there's no really good argument about it because nobody really knows. Rabbi Yosef Amar, we'll see all the others have questions. Rabbi Yosef Amar, my ad shi yavor ha-Pesach. We assumed, right, I asked you specifically for this reason. I said, what do you think yavor ha-Pesach is until the end of Pesach? What does he say? Ad shi yavor shliach tzibur ha-rishon ha-yorei b'yom tov rishon shel Pesach. Achi Avor Pesach means after the first Shliach Tzibur of Pesach goes down from the Teva, right? They would be Yored Lefnei Teva, and then he comes up and he goes back, right? So when the Shliach Tzibur of Shachar finishes, which exactly matches the opinion he said, right? It's a little difficult, Mibchinat HaPshat, but that's what he recommends. Amar le Abaye, Abaye says, I have a better problem than just that it doesn't really work with the words. What is he talking about in the next Mishnah? Ab matai sho'alim et hagshamim. What does that mean? Until when do you say v'tein tal v'matar l'bracha? So how could you possibly say until the first day of Pesach? The first day of Pesach, we don't say a regular Shemona Esrei. We don't say v'tein tal v'matar in our tefillah. So you can't say he says it until the middle of the day on Pesach. The first day of Pesach, there is no, right? Sheila miyom tov mi'ika. There is no such thing. So Amar le in sho'el miturgaman. What is that? He says, when they would be doresh, the rabbi would give a drasha on the holiday, and he would have a miturgaman. What was the miturgaman? He was basically his microphone. Okay, the rabbi would talk at a regular voice, and then the miturgaman would scream it out so that everyone would hear. Okay, so now what they're saying is it could be within the drasha, he would have said, and we need rain. Okay, let's say there was a need for rain. So then they say, so that was what it would be. Okay? It doesn't make any sense. If we're just saying that we don't need rain, then why would he possibly be asking for it? So, therefore, this doesn't really make any sense. And therefore, we reject this opinion also. Rabba Amar, my Ad Sheyavor HaPesach, and this works a little better with the words. Ad Sheyavor Zman Shechitat HaPesach. Pesach, right? We talk about Pesach as the 7 days of Pesach, but often Pesach refers to Yud Daled, the Erev Pesach, right? Because that's the day they brought the Korban Pesach. And when's the end of the Shechita Pesach, right? That's the Korban Pesach, in the Mincha time. So now some people say, does he mean that in Mincha already they would, some people say that this means in Mincha already they would say V'tein Bracha. And one of the explanations for this is that Dafka, it's a good time to do it, because normally when do we start saying V'tein Bracha? Motzei Chag. Right? Now Motzei Chag, Arvit was Rishud, it wasn't clear, it was Chovan, not everybody davened, and they certainly didn't always daven B'tzibur. So Ma'ariv is a bad time to stop saying anything. Nobody really pays attention, right? Like, it's not noticeable. But Mincha, especially on Erev Pesach, everybody's there. Everybody, you know, everyone will notice it. So it's a good time to make that switch so everybody's paying attention. So now, what does he say? Ukitchilato ken sefo. Here's his explanation. Matchilato maskir apapi she'eino shel. Well, now we're going to have it exactly matching. In the beginning, we do haskara before we do she'ela. Af sofo maskir afapi she'eino shel. They want to have some part where you're asking, where you stopped asking, and you're still maskir, right? Where you're no longer asking for gshamim, but you are saying mashiv haruach, which we don't have anymore, right? For us, it overlaps. So therefore, they say mincha of erev Pesach, you're going to end up saying v'tein bracha, and then already the next day you stop saying Mashiv Baruch Morid HaGeshem. So where do you have the overlap? In Shacharit that next day you're going to be doing one and not the other, right? Again, depending whether you say it's Mincha or Shacharit. Now again, Shacharit you're not asking for anything anyway, but at least b'potential, right? In theory you could have been asking, if you wouldn't have been asking if you had a possibility not to ask. Amar le Abaye. So now Abaye is going to have a problem with this opinion. Maskir. I understand why before, when you start saying on Shemini Atzeret, you're going to be maskir. Haskara anami ritzoi she'elahi. It's logical. Why? You want to mention things, right? We always say this about Shemini Atzeret. First you praise God, and then you ask Him for what you want. So it makes sense that you're going to have a time period where you're asking for something before you're praising it, you're mentioning it before you start asking. Ela sofo mai ritzoi she'elahika. But at the end, there's no need for this time period where you're mentioning and you're not asking. And therefore he rejects that explanation and says, Ela mechuvrata kid'ula. But therefore it seems like Ula has the best explanation. In the end they reject all these explanations and they go back to Ula and they say Ula has the best explanation. Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now he paskins Rabbi Yochanan like Rabbi Yehuda, who said, right, it's that you do the switch in between Shacharit and Musaf. Amar le Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Asi, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? V'hatnan b'shloshavim rachashvan sholim etag shamim. Rabban Gamliel omer b'shiv abo. There's a machloket about what day you start asking for rain, right? I said put up here at Zion rachashvan, but there's actually a machloket in the Mishnah, which we're going to see inside in the Mishnah soon, that on the 3rd of rachashvan you ask for rain, or on the 7th. And then Rabbi Elazar, who's an Amora, says about this Mishnah, halacha ke Rabban Gamliel, that it's b'shiva. So now, how could you say that Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that we stop, that we start saying that we, now here the assumption is both the Hazkara and the She'ela happen on Shmini Atzeret. Okay, so he says, how could you say that? It says here, the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, that it happens on Zayin. Amarle, Gavra, Gavra Karamit? What do you mean? Why is this a contradiction? Rabbi Elazar Paskin like Rabban Gamliel, and you could say Rabbi Yochanan didn't, right? Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. They could have two different people making two different psakim. Or Ibait Ema, you could say Lo Kasha, Kan Lishol, Kan Lahazkir. The one is talking about, right, I said the assumption was Shela and Azkara are the same, but he certainly didn't say that. The Gemara says maybe one is Lish'ol and one is Lazkir. Lish'ol we do on Shmini Atzeret. Lazkir we do on Zayin Mar Cheshvan, which is actually what we all know we do. V'ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan, but didn't Rabbi Yochanan himself say, and now you understand why they had this assumption, Bimkom Sheshoel Mazkir. When you ask, you also mention. In other words, you do both, they go together. They say, no. You don't have to say that, because Hahu, when he said that statement, he was talking about lahapsaka. He was saying, when you stop on Pesach, lish'olu lahazkir are the same, when you want to stop asking. But in the beginning, you could have this, you know, time period where you're doing one and not the other. So then they say, itmar, v'ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan, hitzchil lahazkir, matchil lish'ol. Pasach mi lish'ol, posek mi lahazkir. But then, no, it also says, I'm sorry, I didn't read that right. The itmar goes with the previous sentence. It starts off with the question. V'ha'amar, doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say that hitzchil lahazkir matchil lishol? And you can't say that his statement was just about ending. He says explicitly, when you start to mention, you start to ask. So, ela lo kasha halan halehu. Ah. Now we're going to start to get to our distinction. One is Israel and one is Bavel. Okay? So now the Gemara says, Maishna, what's the difference? Each one has different things, but they're both, according to both those explanations, it would make sense that we delay asking for rain. Why? Lididan, for them in Babel, itlam peri bedabra. They still have fruits out in the fields, and therefore the rain is going to destroy them. And they don't want rain right away. They don't need rain right after. Their agricultural season is different. Okay, that's going to be our hint to why there's a difference here. Okay, their agricultural season is different, and therefore it was bad for them to have rain then, so they're certainly not going to ask for something that's bad for them. But also in Eretz Israel, they also have a reason to delay. Nami itluhu ole regalim. They have the ole regalim who have to get home. So nobody wants to start praying for rain. Why would you want to pray for rain when you're about to walk home with all your stuff and your family? And who wants rain then? So they both should really delay. So ki ka'am Rabbi Yochanan bizman she'em beit hamikdash kayam. Ah, that's what they say. When the Beit HaMikdash was Kayam, then Bnei Israel, you know, the people in Israel, Israel would want to delay until they get home. But Bizman She'ein Beit HaMikdash Kayam, you can start asking for rain right away, you have no issue, right? People aren't going on Aliyah L'Rega. Okay. So then they say, Hashta da'ati lahachi, this is our last one we're going to do today. Ha veha liditu. Maybe both are for Eretz Yisrael. And then, below kasha. Kam bizman she'beit hamikdash kayam, v'kam bizman she'ein beit hamikdash kayam. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan said that when the Beit HaMikdash is around, then we delay. And then we have a distinction between Hazkara and She'ela. But when the Beit HaMikdash is not kayam, then we do it all on Shmini Atzeret. Okay, which clearly we see we don't do nowadays. But that's what he's suggesting, okay? We're going to get into a lot more of this as we learn these Mishnayot inside as to the difference between Israel and Babel and what are we really asking for rain. And there's fascinating things that I guarantee are going to go against what your assumptions have been until now about why we ask for rain in different places in different ways. And we'll see that a lot of the things I think that we assume aren't necessarily the case, certainly in the halacha.
Okay.
No. This is Rabbi Yochanan, who's in Emora, who's living in Eretz Israel. And Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai is a Tana,
okay,
who was living in the generation, you know, right after the Korban. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who always goes with Rish Lakish, and they're like first, second generation Emoraim. So they're very important because they're very early. Like Rav and Shmuel were in Eretz Israel then, and they were in Babel. I'm sorry. Rav and Shmuel were in Babel, and they were in Eretz Israel. Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, And a lot of the people who came from place to place would bring down the Mesorot of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish to Bavel. They were very, theirs were the main opinions from there, just like Rav and Shmuel were the main opinions, and everyone's Rav Yehuda's always saying Shmuel, and Rav Nachman's always quoting Shmuel and Rav, and you know, everything's passed down from that first generation.
Right.
So they're up at the top there.